I want you to turn with me to Philippians. I started to read the whole chapter. I don't know. Maybe we should. Because I want to preach on the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ. It's being attacked as never before and ignored as never before. But I want to preach on the gospel of Christ. Philippians chapter 1. I know you're accustomed to going to Romans chapter 1 when I say something like that. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and salvation. But chapter 1 of Philippians says, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and the deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy. For your fellowship, and actually that word fellowship can be translated as partnership, for your fellowship, your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you, because I have you in my heart, insomuch as both in my bonds and in my defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may yet more abound, and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. But I would that you should understand, brethren, that the things which have happened unto me have made me bitter and sour and cynical. All right, let's read it like it should be. Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. But I would that you understand, brethren, that the things which have happened unto me have rather fallen out unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in other places, and many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident in my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Now he said, some preach Christ out of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention and sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. That one verse set me free this week. I'm very jealous of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm jealous of those who call themselves Reverend, Doctor, Bishop, whatever you want to call yourself. We need to be what we claim to be. We need to live what we claim to live. We need to be scriptural in our lives. If people can't see a mirror of reflection of Christ in us, where can they find it? But Christ is preached. And you know, let me just say it, lest I not follow through with this particular thought. You know, as preaching as long as I have, I know more than I like to know. I see more behind the scenes than I like to see. But you know, God just really set me free on this verse. No matter who's preaching it or how they preach it, they'll give an account to God if their lives are not in line with it and if they're not right. The bottom line is that Christ is preached. There's people winning souls that need to answer their own altar call. There are marriages that preach the perfect marriage that need to go to their own marriage seminars. But regardless of what the bottom line is, I hope I'm communicating this like it came to me. No matter who people are, what they are, they'll give an account to God. Nothing slips past God. God's computer's never down. But the bottom line is that Christ is preached. And in that, we can glorify God and say, let the final judgment be with God. It's amazing. I know, just like in our television station, it's amazing how many people feel no responsibility whatsoever to help support the gospel of Jesus Christ. But you know what? God chose a church at 1701 Oakhurst Scenic Drive in Fort Worth, Texas, to do what some real big ministries won't do. And to support what some real big ministries, even though they are on that station, will not do. God's chosen us to stand in the hedge and make up the gap. And so when we get to heaven, gas about rewards. Praise God. We're going to see some tremendous things when we get into the presence of God. You know, I say it, and I hope you don't think it's a statement of pride. This church is a lot bigger deal than most of us realize. This ministry is a lot more powerful in its worldwide outreach than sometimes I give it credit for. Oftentimes I give it credit for. We need to shout every day, I'm part of something worldwide. I'm part of a worldwide vision. I'm part of a church that is reaching out to help and to win people to the Lord Jesus Christ. But I just wanted to share that with you. That set me free this week. And I don't know why I've never really seen it like that. I thought I did, but I didn't. But now I do. Christ is preached. Hallelujah. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, as now also, Christ shall be magnified in, let Jesus be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me is to live is Christ, but to die is gain. I'll tell you, folks, we're reading some powerful, powerful insights. I've taken this much time, so I don't usually read this much scripture because we tune out sometimes when we have too many scriptures before us. But the Word of God goes on to say, but if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose I want not. For I am in a strait betwixt two. Tell us about it, Paul. Having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. I'm reading in Philippians, the first chapter, if anyone wants to finish the last six verses with me. Philippians chapter 1, verse 26. That your rejoicing, let's go to verse 25. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. Verse 26, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Only let your conversation, here's the crux of the gospel, folks. Read these, listen carefully to these next two verses. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Let your words, your conversation, words paint pictures, as becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit. Not stand divided in two spirits. Stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries. I'm conscious that I've read some strong things, but I believe you're strong enough to handle it. Oprah tells us that there's many ways to get to heaven, and that Jesus Christ is not the only way. I can no longer with good conscience watch her. If she's that far off on that, I mean, others may be off, but they're not verbalizing it. Some people take that for their gospel almost. And so occasionally she may have a right person on. But she has said that she was offended as a Baptist when they were too narrow. They were too hard, you know. Just one way. Thank God for the Baptist. Can you say thank God for the Baptist? They believe in salvation by faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's God's grace. I thank God for anyone that stands by the plan of salvation. There are not many roads to heaven. There are not many names to heaven. Peter said there is only one name under heaven whereby we must be saved. Must be saved. Now we have a leading presidential candidate that says that America is no longer a Christian nation. We are a people of the Muslims. We are a people of Buddhists. And that Christians are too narrow-minded. The problem with America is the religious. Yeah, religion is the problem. But the problem with America is evangelicals. They're mean-spirited. You mighty right I'm mean-spirited. You don't like my flag? You don't like my country? Go somewhere else. You don't like my Jesus? Okay. You'll have to make your own decisions, but I'm telling you, we better vote Jesus. We better vote Jesus. Make up your mind to vote Jesus. Amen. I want to talk to you about the gospel of Christ. Yes, Oprah, there is a gospel. Yes, there is a Jesus. Yes, there is one way to God, and His name is Jesus. And yes, that one way died on the cross of Calvary for your sins and my sins, and for the sins of the world. She's probably a very gracious lady, a very warm-hearted lady. But the thing is, you know, people get to be stars and then they become authorities on everything. And that's not true. Paul, in the first chapter of Philippians, first of all, he said the gospel of Christ is a gospel of servanthood. John F. Kennedy made a statement that has rung through the years. Ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. Ask not what your church can do for you, or what can I get out of the gospel of Christ. It's amazing to me over the years, as long as somebody gets something out of this house, they hang around. When they no longer get anything, they disappear. That's always been kind of a strange phenomenon to me. I come to give praises to my God. I come to give of my tithe, my offering unto the Lord. I come to give of my love. I come to be a part of this house because we're reaching out to win people to Jesus. It's a gospel of servanthood. Jesus himself became a servant. Jesus himself became a servant. And such a beautiful thing that has been added to my office came from a pastor who said, there are only three, I believe, that were made in the world by a famous sculptor or whatever. But it shows Jesus kneeling, washing the feet of Peter. Can you imagine how Peter felt? Wow. Jesus washing, it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. I just look at it and it preaches to me. The gospel of Jesus Christ is a gospel of grace. Now, let's get down to the nitty-gritty of this thing. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear. Was grace my fears relieved? Not one person in this room would make it if it were not for the grace of God. Are you listening to me? Not one. Myself included. Because we can't... I can tell you what the Word says, and if the shoe fits, wear it, but I'm not your judge. I'm not your Savior. I'm not the one on the final day that will give the final determinations. Even though you make heaven, some people are going to see everything they've ever done, hay, wood, and stubble. And others that didn't think that they were worthy of the kingdom of God. You know, I have a certain category. It's my great category. People that are great and they don't know it. I love people like that. They are great and they don't have a clue that they're great. They just live and let Jesus live through them. Grace be unto you. The unmerited favor of God. God's willingness to give us His best even though we don't deserve it. And the definitions go on and on and on. I don't think I've ever heard a definition of grace that I didn't like. Grace be unto you. Thank God for amazing grace. Hallelujah. Grace be unto you and peace. In the Old Testament, there's a word called shalom. If you ever go to Israel, you hear it from morning till night. Shalom, shalom. Shalom, shalom, shalom. Over in the New Testament, that word shalom, peace, switches over to irene. It was, I'm trying to think, about 1980 or 81, that a couple in the church, that found they're deceased, have been deceased for several years, but they came to Joe and I. We'd come through a very difficult time. They said, we feel led to send you to Hawaii. I said, I feel led to go. Dr. Stumbo gave me a little piece of lead, you know, the part of the fishing gear, and a little sign said, for those that must feel led to give. You just carry that around your pocket and just feel led and just give, you know. It's a beautiful, beautiful, deeply spiritual thought. If you have to feel led to give, just keep lead on your person at all times and just rub it a little bit and just give. It's exciting to me. Peace. One night I was going to sleep, and for some reason Isaiah 54:10 caught my attention. I had a strong concordance with me, and Joy went to bed because I was studying. I had papers scattered everywhere in that room in the Sheraton there on Honolulu. And I got into this thing of shalom and irene, and man, it was life-changing. I don't think I've ever quite been the same. Because you see, the word peace, you'll find it so many times in the Word of God. In fact, in the Old Testament, a rough count, I believe around 208, and the New Testament, 86 times. You know what this word peace, the peace of God, you know, if you have God, no wonder the wicked are like the troubled sea. It's those that know Jesus that have peace. We're talking about the gospel of Christ this morning. Let the TV folks, let the show business people say what they want to say. I believe in the gospel of Christ. I believe in the gospel of Christ. It's a gospel of servanthood. It's a gospel of grace. But it's a gospel of peace. You say, what do you mean peace? Well, it means quietness, wellness, good health, to be happy, happiness. Everybody's searching for happiness. It means prosperity, or to prosper. It means rest. Rest in the Lord. We find that in the Word of God. Rest. Count to 10. Just rest. Rest. We got into Sydney. And we got off the plane and they met us and they said, your flight's been canceled to America. I said, oh, great. Oh, great. Joy said, well, Bob, God's going to work it out. You know, and I'm a great man of faith. I said, yeah, but the inconvenience of it, you know, and no telling where our luggage, you know. And oh, great. Because the way it was going, probably wouldn't have been here this morning. Great. Then I had to pray through about the folks that were striking. Man, they'd call several hundred people to spend the night in Sydney. And so one person said, you might check with a sir. I checked with a sir. And they said, oh, the Nichols. I said, yeah, Nichols. We've been looking for you. I said, here we are. Praise God. I said, I believe we can work this out. I said, but my luggage. They said, we'll send somebody out on the runway right now and get your luggage. I said, I thought, well, you know, Joy was right after all, you know. She said, now just calm down, Bob. When I'm headed home, I get in a go-home mood, you know. It's going to be all right, Bob. You know, when your wife's right, it just rubs you sometimes, you know. you know they're right, but I'm still talking about the peace of God. I got out of peace for a few moments. And you know, before long, they offered us a gourmet meal. I mean, some VIP treatment. I thought, wow, I like this flights being canceled business. You know, this is not bad at all. So it wound up, all we had to do was go through San Francisco instead of Los Angeles and have a delay of about 8 or 9 hours. But they took care of us very well in the meantime. Rest. Safety. You know, all this is peace. The peace of God will rule and reign. In fact, Isaiah 54:10 said, it's the covenant peace of God. God has covenanted for those that will trust in Him to give you peace. Really, myself or anyone else, nothing should disturb us except what the enemy is up to, and we just commit that to God. So it means wellness, good health, happiness, prosperity, rest, safety. Yeah, safety, that's good when you're 30-some-odd thousand feet in the air. Safety. And here's another one that it means to be complete or to be whole again. Let me tell you something. There are people in this room today, your life's been broken into a million pieces. Might have happened through a partnership or a business partnership or a doctor's report or a divorce, untimely divorce. What? I mean, your life has been broken into a million pieces. Someone lied to you. But you know, the gospel of peace says you can be whole again. You can be complete. My life is ruined only if you let it be. Nothing is capable of ruining our lives as long as Jesus is the Lord of our life. So you've been through the big sea. So you've been through disaster. So you've faced a lot of things. So receive the peace of God. The covenant peace of God. That no matter what you face, God's peace is stronger than anything that you face. That's good news, folks. Grace and peace be from God our Father be to you. You know, the gospel of Christ, it's a gospel of loving one another and praying for one another. You know, Paul said, I pray for you. You're in my prayers. Isn't it good to know that people are thinking about us and praying for us? Oh, they think about us and they pray for one another. That's what the Word of God said. Always in every prayer of mine, for you all, making request with joy. You know, this gospel of Christ is a gospel of fellowship. It really is. You know, the best friends in this world may not be your own family. If they don't know Jesus and if they're not committed to Jesus, your best friends may be someone that sits next to you in the pew. Your best friend may be someone that really loves your Jesus and they really love you. It's not always, it should be, it could be. I mean, I know because of blood relationship, but you know, it's amazing how you can have somebody, blood relation, that doesn't think about you, call you, or ever think about you. At least the evidence is not there. No matter what you've done and how much you've done. It's interesting. But this is a gospel of fellowship and partnership. Praise God. You know, we're going to be talking about our partnership. You talk about limited partnership, it's an unlimited partnership. Our partnership in the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, your tithe comes in and yet it goes all over the world. It's a partnership. It's not a neither here nor there thing. The gospel of Christ is a gospel of confidence. Oh God. Paul twice speaks of confidence. I'm confident. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing. A lot of things you can't be confident about. They advertise things on the radio and then they go into gibberish. When they do, I turn it off. They're They tell you how you're going to make all kind of money, how you're going to go where you've never gone, all the wonderful things this product's going to do. And then the disclaimer comes. Come. Don't mumble to me. Talk to me. I have enough people mumble to me. Talk to me. Give me a straight shot. Don't give me that gibberish. Amen. That insults my intelligence. Don't mumble. If your product's what you say it is, just keep on talking. That's my frustration for the day, and I got that out. Praise God. It's a gospel of confidence. Notice this. A gospel of confidence. I'm confident of this very thing. This very thing. What are you confident of, Pastor Bob Nichols? That he which hath begun a good work in you is going to run out of material. He's going to run out of money. Oh, the greenies are going crazy all over the world. When I was in George C. Clark Elementary, the greenies came after us. And we were erasing the marks from our paper, our little pencil marks, because we were running out of trees. And that's been a few years ago. Then one day I got the privilege of flying. And flying over parts of America. And I've never seen so many trees in all my life. The greenies were lying to me in grade school. You listen to me. Don't have a nervous breakdown. Yes, we should do the best we can do for clean water. Yes, we should do all we can do for clean air. I'm for that 100%. We should not on purpose desecrate this wonderful planet that God has given us. But as long as it's God's will for us to be on this earth, we're going to have air to breathe, water to drink, money to spend, food to eat. We're going to have what we need to live. One of the reasons we're having a food crisis right now is now we're putting our corn in the gas tank. Seems like I'm out there this morning. I prophesied when I first started reading on my gas pump that 10% of my gasoline might be something else. That this was not going to help anybody except somebody way up on top. My prophecy was accurate. When we went through the Dakotas and saw miles after miles after miles, I said, what in the world's all this corn crop cut down for? Because they're putting it in gas tanks. So because they're putting it in gas tanks, it's going to cost you more in the grocery store. Plus, your fuel's going to cost you more. They're not going to reduce your fuel because they're using 10% of it to digest your food. We just better wake up, folks. I'm not real gullible. I want to check things out. Amen. We're going to have what we need. God didn't say, oh my gracious, I never thought the population of the world would explode like this. Oh, what's wrong with my world? It's out of control. No, the world's not out of control and God's not out of control. I serve a God who can take a boy's lunch and feed 5,000 people. I serve a God who can bring water out of the rock. I serve a God who can provide manna when there is no food in the desert. And I believe my God's big enough to see us through. No, we're not to be foolish and we're not to do something stupid on purpose. But I refuse to live in fear. I refuse to live in fear. My God has always taken care of his own. David said, I was young, but I'm a little bit older now. And I've not seen the righteous forsaken. And I've not seen God's seed begging bread. God has what we need, if we'll serve him, make sure that he gets his tenth back, and what, however else God leads you, you serve God, you win souls, you pray, you stay full of the Holy Ghost, you just go down that road with a silly believer's grin on your face, and you watch that verse, my God shall supply all of my need according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. Well, I believe that he which hath begun a good work in me will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. I thank God for my upbringing. There were two things they taught us, though, and there's some other things they should have taught us. They could tell you how to get saved, and they could tell you how to backslide. Boy, we aced out on both of them. No evangelist left town without me as a convert. Because we didn't know that God could save us and God could keep us. Now, you can act stupid and go home prematurely and get out under the umbrella and wonder why it rains on you. But if you stay under the umbrella of God's word and God's promises and serve God and trust God, God's going to bring you through. God did not call us to live in fear, this gospel of Christ. Well, what else about the gospel of Christ? There's so much here that I can't get to. It's a gospel where Christ is preached. We preach Jesus in this church. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Jesus Christ and Him resurrected. Jesus Christ and Him at the right hand of the Father. They went everywhere. The Lord working with them. Confirming the word with signs following. Our message is Jesus. He saves us. He keeps us. He empowers us. He enriches us. He heals us. He leadeth me. He leadeth me. He guides me. He directs me. Jesus is the message of this church. Not Hare Krishna, not Buddha, not the Muslim religion. Jesus is the big name in this church. It's the only name. Jesus. There's not many roads to heaven. There's just one. His name is Jesus. It's also a gospel to live as Christ and to die as gain. You know, the Western mind, we're so fearful of death. You know, that's one thing some of the other part of the world have on us, you know. But you know, we don't realize to live is Christ. To live is not just a better home, better car, better job, better clothing. To live is not just better things. To live is Christ. You want to live, baby? Let Jesus be the Lord of your life. You want to live? Tell everybody you come in contact with that Jesus saves and Jesus heals and Jesus blesses. Christ is the message. Jesus Christ is the message of this church and should be of every evangelical church. It's a gospel of Jesus Christ. To live is Christ, to die is gain. It's a gospel where faith is a joy. Faith is not a pain in the neck. I'm telling you, thank God for the gospel of Christ, but it's a gospel of faith. Joyful faith. You know, when we had the revival in 93, some people were very critical of the joy and the laughter. But you know, you can't fool me. I've pastored long enough to know that happy people pastor a lot better than sourpusses. It's a lot easier to pastor somebody that has a smile on their face and a smile on their heart. I mean, a grouch is hard to pastor. Because there ain't nothing you're going to do that's going to be right. So it's a gospel where faith is a joy. Look at verse 25 and 26. The word of God said, and having this confidence. There's that word again, confidence. I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. Faith is not a pain, it's a joy. That your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Joy of faith and rejoicing. Aren't those beautiful words? God's will for you is joy, rejoicing. We used to sing a song, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Oh, that's one of those old songs that wasn't filled with unbelief. And then the Bible goes further, and let's do a wrap, 27 and 28. Here's what the gospel says, and I've already read it, but I want to just dwell on it here in our final moments. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Talk like the word. How can I do that? Talk the word. How can you talk like the word? Talk the word. What does God's word say about it? That whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast with one spirit. Church, you listen to me. God has kept us since 1964. Some come, some go. I realize that. That happens over a period of time. But you know how churches make it? By people standing fast in one spirit. Oh, I know. I talked to a deacon one time. He said, I'm the devil's advocate in this church. I keep this church straight. I said, just drop the advocate, sir. God didn't put one person in a church to straighten everybody else out. Especially, you know, make sure all the staff and all the preachers do it right. Stand fast. You're different than I am, and I'm different than you are. But you know, when it comes to faith in Jesus, we stand fast. You may like a red tie, and I may like a blue tie. I mean, that really does make you nervous. But stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving not with yourselves, but striving together, pulling together. Pulling together for the faith of the gospel. And in nothing terrified by your adversaries. You know the church where we've been going there for several, well, it'd be the fifth time I believe that we've gone. Had an unfortunate thing that got a Jezebel spirit got loose there. And I tell you, for 2 years that church went through hell on earth. It was all I could do, just keep the pastor's train on the track. And you know, he did stand fast and hold fast. Jezzy's gone, praise God. And her husband's gone. He said he never could handle her anyway. But what's interesting, the church has doubled and the youth have doubled since all the criticism got out. The church has doubled and the youth, we had a real explosion in our the youth, you know, part of the meeting. It was exciting. Roll back, pastor smiling, strains off, stress is off. You know, life's just a lot more fun if we all pull together. How happy we'll be. So many places in such a mess, we're bound to be doing something right for things to be going so wonderful around here. I believe we're on the verge of seeing some of the greatest breakthroughs that we've ever seen. We've survived storms and we've survived Jezebels and Ahabs and we've survived a lot of things over the years. And God's brought us through and God's brought us out. Boy, I know that feeling when it seems like there's nothing you can do that's right. But oh, the joyous release when Jezzy and Ahab leave town. Sheesh, glory to God. It's fun again. Happy days are here again. Stand fast in one spirit, one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And in nothing terrified by your adversaries. Church, get a grip on that. Don't be terrified about anything. Don't be terrified about anything. I said, don't be terrified about anything. It's not God's will for you to live in fear. Years ago, I remember I got a letter from IRS. You've heard me tell the story, but I want to hear it again myself. That's what John Osteen used to say. I know you've heard it, but I want to hear it again myself. And I put that letter on my desk at home. I walked around that letter. I rebuked that letter. In the name of Jesus, I spoke the word to that letter. I didn't open it. I just, in the name of, I'd rebuke that thing day and night. Get up in the middle of the night and I'd rebuke that. You know, about 2 weeks went by and I finally thought, well, I might as well face the music. Open it up and it's a refund. Nothing terrified by your adversaries. Just write the devil a letter on the bottom of your shoe. Nothing. You say, boy, you just talking about living free. Yeah, I hope you got that. By faith, you can't do this in the natural. You know, some of you were taught to worry from a child. I mean, no, really. Some people, I mean, there's things that have come through family and, you know, your family always did. But it's about time you broke traces with that. I like what Dr. Stumble says. Stop talking about generational curses and start talking about generational blessings. Hallelujah! Your life may fall apart like these notes fell out of my Bible. But thank God, I wasn't bound to those notes, so it really didn't make any difference. In nothing terrified by your adversaries. I'm on the board of a few ministries. Don't remember exactly how many. It's not that many, but on a few. And you know, I haven't been on the board of one ministry that hasn't faced more than one time when it looked like you might have to close the doors. And there's times in this church when we went through all that transition downtown. I mean, it wasn't that our heart was not right. We could make payments. We just couldn't find anybody that would, you know, take the note and so on. I mean, if you live for God long enough, you'll face times when it'll look like you're not going to make it. You can't make it. And then that's where we have to go back to the book, back to the Word, back to the promises of God, and just say, I refuse to be terrified. I refuse to live in terror. I refuse to live in fear. Some way, somehow, God is going to bring us out. Some way, somehow. Oh, this is better preaching than you are shouting this morning. It's all in the book. It's all first chapter of Philippians. Check me out. You'll see everything I preached was according to the Word of God today. I don't care what television personality or political personality doesn't believe that this book is the only... Well, I believe in the 6-day creation, but I also believe in evolution. Oh, God. And now we're getting the Big Bang back around. Now, that's real intelligent. That is so intelligent, it just staggers my imagination. You talk about taking faith to try to wrap your mind around the Big Bang theory. Now, Hollywood's really... Oh, they found a new toy, they think. Big Bang. Well, I'll tell you, I know Big Bang. His name is Lord God Almighty. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. And I'll tell you how big His bang is. Light be bang. Sun be bang. Moon be bang. Waters bang. Hey, this is fun. Colorado mountains, ski mountains, be bang. Just like that. Yeah. Getting some of you stirred up out there. It's all right. We've been a little serious here for a while. You got to have some humor with life. You know, when you travel, you just got to have a sense of humor. You go nuts on these long trips, you don't have a sense of humor. You've never heard my wife really giggle. She's got a cute little giggle. I'm just telling you, God keeps life interesting. I mean, it's not spiritual. I don't even know why it comes from my mind. But I remember we got back into London from Uganda. And we'd had one of those delayed flights, and you're tired, and you just, you know, you la-la, flown all night. And we ordered breakfast. Thank God for breakfast. And my wife ordered Eggs Benedict. And it came, and John Wampler was with us on staff. John's eyes got big. He forgot he had food. He kept watching every bite that Joy was eating. Didn't you give him a bite for his all over? I thought you did. John said, John, would you like a... Boy, his fork went out just like that. He was watching those eggs just like a watchdog. I'm telling. Just like his. Now there's no spiritual significance to that, so don't try to get real super spiritual on me. But I'm here to tell you, trust in God with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. He will direct your paths. God will direct your paths. The gospel of Christ. Thank God for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank God I'm not what I used to be. Not all I'm going to be. But I'm on the way to being everything Jesus died for me to be. Stand to your feet. Let's praise our God today. Oh, praise God, praise God, praise God. Why don't you get something out of God's Word today? Praise God. We just kind of had a buffet today, cafeteria style. Just put a lot of things on the counter. But you know, that's what's true. My God shall supply all of my needs according to His riches and glory. Lord, we thank You today that every need is abundantly met and supplied. We give You all glory, all honor, and all praise. I'm not going to tell you to take some Kleenex. You know the little thing I do every once in a while, but just play like you've got some Kleenex. We're going to cast our cares on the Lord this morning. The gospel of Christ. You got to win souls, but you got to relax and you got to cast your cares on Him. And He must be the supreme thing in your life. Just put your cares in your little hand. If you're left-handed or right-handed, it doesn't make any difference. We're going to cast those. Father, we're getting ready to cast all of our cares on You. Lord, we're so blessed. We just thank You. And we cast all of our cares on You in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You know, I'm so very, very thankful for all of you, for your prayers, for your faithfulness. You're a wonderful group of people. Our house has been like Grand Central Station for a number of years. I mean, there's something going on all the time there. And we had two or three areas that desperately needed some TLC. And I didn't know what to do about it. I really didn't. Just some renovation that needed to take place. You know, we came home and just found so many nice things happened in our house. Boy, I don't know how this crew, if you can do all that in 7 days, I think the spirit of creation's on you guys. Thank everyone who was in our home and helped us. And all the little things, I'm still discovering things people have done in our absence. The beautiful thing was it happened in our absence. We came home and everything was clean and people had worked so hard. God bless the precious people. God bless the precious people that have blessed their pastor. Helped us, Lord, to get those things corrected in our house and get it updated. Make it look so nice. Father, we thank You for that in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. You ready to cast that care on the Lord? Did we already do that? Well, that's why I felt so carefree, I guess. Hallelujah. A little bit of jet lag, but not bad for jet lag, you know. That's not bad preaching for jet lag. Not bad at all. Praise God. Ha ha.